She was the first woman ever named Guitar Player of the Year by the International Bluegrass Music Association, and that was 2 years in a row. I'm talking about legend in the making, Molly Tuttle. Molly and Golden Highway, her band of bluegrass virtuosos, is touring the U.S. this year in support of Molly's Nonesuch Records debut, Crooked Tree, co-produced with Dobro Virtuoso and Telluride Bluegrass Festival regular Jerry Douglas. With this release, the award-winning guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter continues to push her work in new directions, transcending musical boundaries. Between her expressive crystalline voice and astounding flat-picking guitar skills, Tuttle has made history. Those words are from Rolling Stone Country. This is Susan Zebrock, Telluride Inside and Out, honored to once again be speaking with Molly Tuttle in anticipation of her upcoming Telluride Bluegrass Festival appearance on the main stage. She performs with Golden Highway on Friday, June 17th at noon. Molly, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So your fans know you grew up in a musical family in California. We mm-hmm. know your father was a professional multi-instrumentalist and Bay Area teacher, and that your mm-hmm. granddad was a banjo player. So nature and nurture merged in your rocketing career. What we might be curious about, however, is why the switch from the eclecticism of your past award-winning releases such as When You're Ready, that was, and 2020's I'd Rather Be With You, to the bluegrass music you grew up with. Do you regard that return to your roots as inevitable? And was it, in the end, joyful?
Yeah, I think it was somewhat inevitable. I didn't see making a bluegrass record as my next album, but when I started writing, and especially when I was home so much during the first year and a half or so of the pandemic, I was writing a lot of songs, and the ones that felt the most true to me and the ones that I was most excited about were the bluegrass songs that I was writing. And I just wanted to write more and more of them. And finally, I realized I had a full album. And from there, I was like, well, I guess I might as well go into the studio. People still weren't going back on tour as much as usual, and I figured it would be a great time to get all these A-list bluegrass musicians into the studio to play these songs. And it was so joyful and so exciting that I knew that I wanted to put the record out this year and put a band together and tour it.
Thank you very much for that. So leaving the violin behind, you took up the guitar, I believe that was at age 8. Then mm-hmm. you became interested in singing at the ripe young age of 11. Who were your earliest influences back then, and what did you admire about them and their performance styles? Do some of those influences take a bow on Crooked Tree?
Yeah, definitely. I think this album, I was really going back to those early influences, people like Hazel Dickens and Laurie Lewis, Gillian Welch, and early bluegrass like the Stanley Brothers, and as well as more sort of contemporary bluegrass, not like modern-day bluegrass, but people like John Hartford, who pushed bluegrass songwriting into new directions, and Peter Rowan, whose songs I really admire. They all influenced the songwriting on the new album. I think Laurie Lewis, who is a Bay Area bluegrass musician who I saw a lot as a kid. I got to see her play, and later she became a mentor to me in my teenage years when I was starting to write songs. Her songs in particular really influenced some of the songwriting on the album. She writes a lot of songs about the natural world, and when I was writing Crooked Tree, I was thinking about her a lot.
One of my very, very first bluegrass interviews ever, and that goes back to 1990s, was Laurie Lewis. So thanks for bringing
that
up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So American Songwriting Magazine sang hosannas to your talent, summing it up this way. Molly Tuttle sings with the gentle authority of Gillian Welch, yet plays astonishing fleet flat-picking guitar like Chet Atkins on Superdrive. How do those words, those comparisons resonate with you?
I mean, Gillian Welch is someone who I've really learned a lot from. I think like her singing is understated but very powerful at the same time, and for me I want to get the stories across from my songs, and I think that's her style of how she does that with her songs, where you really are hanging on every word, is something that I aim to do. And of course Chet Atkins is the best, and yeah, that was really, I loved that when I saw that quote.
So did I, obviously. Crooked Tree features tales of free spirits and outlaws, weed farmers and cowgirls. And the final track, Grass Valley, is autobiographical. Did you have any hesitation opening the closet door on your personal history? In doing so, do you feel you are still able to push the genre in new directions? And if yes, in what ways?
Yeah, I think I did feel hesitancy. I remember I sent Jerry Douglas the 12 tracks, not including Grass Valley, in a folder that was like A-list, here's the songs I definitely want to do. And then there was a B-list folder with a handful of songs, and Grass Valley was the only one in the B-list that made the album, so we ended up cutting all 13. And I just felt like, I don't know, like my personal details and my story of going to a bluegrass festival maybe didn't fit with the more kind of telling stories that I made up of other people's lives. Or, I mean, a lot of the other songs are drawn from my personal experience, but that one is so specific and autobiographical that I was like, I don't know. Like, it made me a little self-conscious to put it on with the other songs. But I was really glad I did, because it kind of shows where the music really took hold for me, and kind of explains why I am here making this bluegrass album. And it was really special to have my dad sing on that track.
Yeah, thank you for that answer. And where did the title Crooked Tree come from? I assume Tom Waits figures into the answer. Personally, what does that metaphor signify about you and your music?
Yeah, I mean, that song came about, I was writing with my friend Melody Walker, who also grew up near where I grew up, and we've kind of come up in the California bluegrass scene, and she had seen a quote that Tom Waits quoted. I don't know if he's the one who came up with this quote. I've seen other little variations of it where it talks about being a crooked tree and living a life of taking the road less traveled, and we thought, like, that's so cool. Let's write a song that's about embracing our differences. We both grew up feeling different than other kids. I lost my hair when I was 3 years old and was always like the bald kid in school. And Melody, I didn't realize at the time when we were writing the song, but she had kind of a similar experience where she had scoliosis as a kid and had to wear a back brace all through school. So in our different ways, we both kind of resonated with that title. And I think everyone has some story like that, that is something that maybe they were once ashamed of and they've learned to accept about themselves.
Great answer. Thank you for that honesty. So, Gillian Welsh, Margo Price, Billy Strings, Old Crow Medicine Show, Dan Tominski, Sierra Ho, all show up on Crooked Tree. And they're just part of your large circle of friends since you moved to Nashville in 2015. But why did you choose these particular singers for this particular project?
Yeah, I think each one has like a slightly different story. But if I give like a brief synopsis, I mean, Margo is someone I'm a big fan of, and we've met a couple times, and I read in an interview that she also has family ties to Illinois, and her dad had lost the farm in Illinois, and so I thought Flatland Girl was a really, really similar story to the one I'd read her talking about, which is a story of my family, too. And so I wanted to have another Illinois farm girl. Not that I grew up on a farm or anything, but we both have that in common, that our families are from there and we're farmers. So I wanted to have her on that song. And then Old Crow, Ketch and I wrote the song Big Backyard together, and I really wanted it to sound like a big backyard party, and I knew that Old Crow would bring the party vibes to that song. Billy Strings and I used to be roommates when I first moved to Nashville. We were roommates for a couple of years, and I immediately thought of him for Dewey's Farm. I just love his spirit, and I'm a huge fan of his music, and I thought that his audience would like that song too. And then Sierra Hall and I have been playing together since we were probably 11 or 12. And we worked out the arrangement that you hear on Over the Line. We kind of worked out together when we were playing with the First Ladies of Bluegrass. I remember we played that song at Telluride as a band, and so I wanted to bring Sierra in because I felt like she contributed a lot. That's the oldest song on the record. I wrote the rest of them last year, but that one I wrote a few years beforehand. And then Dan Tominski, he kind of came in and saved the day on San Francisco Blues. I had actually asked Lori Lewis to sing it, and We were coming down to the wire and hadn't gotten her part yet, and she let us know that she had lost her voice. She had just gotten sick, and we were on a pretty tight deadline. She didn't know when she was going to get her voice back. She was dealing with kind of a long-term vocal thing, and we were like, well, we might not even have harmony vocals on this song. Maybe we'll try to throw something together last minute, and Dan was able to put that amazing part on the song kind of like right before we went into mixing, which I love how it turned out. I still want to do another version and have Lori sing on it because I thought it would be special to get someone from the Bay Area on it, but I was so happy with Dan's part. And then Gillian Welch, we sent her a few different songs because she inspired so many songs on the record, but she chose to sing on Side Saddle, and it was just such an honor to have one of my biggest heroes come in and sing on the album.
Great, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What would you like Telluride Bluegrass Festivarians and folks in general to take away from Crooked Tree?
I mean, I wrote this song with bluegrass festivals in mind. I'm super excited to sing these songs at Telluride because when I was writing them, I was kind of envisioning seeing them on that stage. Like, that was one of the shows I did in 2019 before everything shut down, and it was just such a special performance to me, and such a beautiful landscape to get to play songs in. So I hope that people hear these songs and might want to sing them in the jams at night and learn them on their own, because I really wanted to add to the bluegrass catalog. I grew up going to bluegrass jams and loving bluegrass songs, and I hope that people will want to make these songs their own as well.
Okay. Let's take a left turn and talk about an additional hurdle that you faced besides that of male dominance in the world of bluegrass music. Let's talk about the alopecia, that incurable autoimmune disease you contracted, what you said, at age 3. Mm-hmm. How did you manage to pull off a hat trick that turned that lemon into lemonade?
Yeah, it took a long time. I mean, people see me being confident about it, talking about it, even taking off my wig on stage at times, and think it's so cool that, like, that I have this ability to turn something that can be perceived as a negative into something I'm confident with. But I've also lived with it now for 26 years, and it probably took me 20 years at least to become at all confident with telling people about it outside of my immediate family and close friends. So it was really a long journey, and I feel for people who have just lost their hair and are dealing with those early days of grief. When I lost mine, I was only 3, so I was kind of, I didn't even know what was happening, and it took me till I was in my late teens to even start to grapple with it. So, I think it just took a lot of time and took finding a community of other people with alopecia. At first, I kind of isolated myself, which I think is normal when you have something you're ashamed of, you don't want to let anyone in. But the more that I reached out to others who had gone through the same thing, the more it seemed like something I could turn into a positive and use to kind of help myself feel better and gain confidence in all parts of my life, and also help others feel better as well.
Finally, has Telluride Bluegrass Festival influenced your career in any way? And what are you looking forward to most about returning to the bluegrass stage?
I think Telluride Bluegrass Festival for me is like the, you hear about it, like if you grow up playing bluegrass like I did, you just hear about Telluride as kind of the ultimate pinnacle of bluegrass festivals in this beautiful location with all these legends who come back and play the festival every year. And it was such an honor to play there in 2019. And I think it really was a pivotal moment for me where I got to meet so many incredible people. I got to sit in with Brandi Carlile and sit in with Sam Bush and make those connections that came back later throughout the year. I remember we got asked to go out to Newport and play with Brandi Carlile and her all-female set there celebrating women and folk music and roots music. And it's a magical weekend. I think every musician who gets to play there feels really lucky, and you definitely feel that collaborative spirit where people want to make it a special experience for the people on stage as well as the audiences.
Thank you, Molly. That's a wrap. This is Susan Zebrock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with Molly Tuttle, Look for her on the main stage at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival on Friday, June 17th at noon. Molly, thanks for taking time out of your crazy schedule to talk with me.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.